Right, intro music cue. Do 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 do. Webinars unfiltered. Do. Hi everyone, we are back and we're coming back with a strong topic. Your all hands is a waste of everyone's time, and don't we all know it? When I say we, I'm Emma and I'm an editorial content producer here at Workcast. Very new to the role, been doing it since January, but loving it. And we're also joined by Rachel and Alex, so I'll let you both introduce yourselves.
Hi everyone, I am Rachel. I am Sales and Marketing Director here at Workcast. You might have seen my face on a few of these in the past. I've been here for coming up to 10 years and looking forward to discussing this topic in a little bit more detail.
I'm Alex. I've been here for a few years. I'm an event support specialist and I run managed events for our customers and support our self-service customers as well. So if you've been on one of our managed events, you've probably seen my face before.
Amazing. So some housekeeping rules. First off, the most important rule, you need a coffee, grab a coffee. Although I'm like a fraud, I've finished mine. Sorry everyone, but yeah, get yourselves a coffee, sit back and relax. View the resources available to the right hand side. We've hopefully got some documents on there and some links on there that should be of use. And submit questions, comments, we're welcome to them all. We do have someone behind the scenes who's going to kind of look at them as and when they come in, but we will also review them once the podcast is finished, and we can get in touch as well if we need to. If you've joined us for an unfiltered discussion before, you'll know that we typically find someone's kind of pain point or a question on a forum, and then we discuss it on this podcast and actually try and solve it. That's the overall goal, is to solve your pain point. Exactly. And if this is your first time joining an unfiltered podcast, then welcome. So today's question, it comes from someone who has basically said out loud what most of us have thought about but actually never said in a meeting review. So I'm going to read the question out. So it basically says, are all hands meetings feel like a waste of time? People join, stay quiet and drop off early. Cameras are off, questions are rare, and it's hard to tell if anyone is actually paying attention. But we keep doing them. Leadership sees them as important. So we invest time planning them, getting senior speakers involved, and trying to make them feel like a big moment. Even though engagement is low every time, I don't think I'm the only one who feels this way, but no one really says it. Are all hands meetings just broken, or are we missing something? I actually feel like I'm just going to start this straight away and then we're going to come back into it, but it's not a waste of time. And it's actually ironic that a lot of people feel that way, because it's actually the most valuable meeting that you that you can have, and the big yes. use of your time. And if your employees are feeling that way, then something needs to change. And that's why we're here today. So I'm going to start by setting the scene. What is actually an all hands event, and kind of what's the use of them?
Is that a question for us, is it?
I would say so. Yes, you're here. Welcome.
So an all hands, generally speaking, is theoretically a really good way to get teams up to speed on updates, and whether it's focusing on one topic or various topics, and they're usually held throughout the year. They could be annual, they could be quarterly. All hands can be interpreted differently depending on the company that you work for as well. Some people call them AGMs, which can also be seen as something ever so slightly different, but all hands is generally something to get everyone together, make either an announcement or update, and give the opportunity for leadership in particular to speak to the company as a whole. They're effective in both small companies and large companies, and how you do that can differ. It can be online, it can be in person, it can be hybrid. So yeah, it's that for me in a nutshell would be my definition. Obviously people's can change. Alex, I know you've been on site to film a lot of them as well, so you might have a different take on it too, but that for me, I would say, is kind of the general definition.
I think for me, a lot of what I see on site is the sort of team building aspect of it as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people now have fully remote employees somewhere in the organization, and you might never like speak to those people unless you need to speak to them about something at work. But yeah, all hands can be a nice sort of environment to get to know people that you wouldn't otherwise speak to, see in person, that sort of thing. So
they'll have like spin-off activities as well, I guess, depending on if they're long or all day as well. You can have sort of icebreakers, lunches, those sorts of things. So
amazing. And I just to add, I would say also it's an opportunity to align everyone in your company, just so everyone's on the same page with the company vision, where you guys are going as a company, and what everyone can actually do to kind of get you there. Sorry, excuse my cat, it's just jumping in and shot there. But yeah, it just means that everyone can be more focused, productive, and have a better, clearer idea of exactly where you're going as a company as well. So it is so, so important, which is why it shouldn't feel like a waste of time. It should feel that usefulness and beneficial. So if the purpose is good, then why are some people disliking them? Does anyone have any ideas?
I guess from an all hands perspective, it can come down to the format. It can come down to how they're being delivered. Are they engaged? It's a bit like what you said earlier, Emma. People feel like they're being talked at opposed to being encouraged to being involved. I think that makes a massive difference. They are quite meaty meetings as well. They generally involve a lot of information and or data. So depending on people's attention spans, it can be quite taxing, especially if you're, for example, speaking to people across different departments. How, say, an engineer interprets the data on screen to someone who, say, is in sales, and then vice versa, if you're talking about data when it comes to technology and how things are operating behind the scenes, your departments can almost feel a little bit overwhelmed with the information. So it may just be that if they are being talked at about this information, then depending on the topic at that given time, they may just glaze over, and then that's when engagement can kind of drop. I think in our scenario anyway, such as things like polls and Q&A, surveys, votes, that should all be used to keep audience involved and engaged. But most of all, heard, because you want to know that what you're providing is giving them value and that it's landing in the way that you want it. As usual, I've gone off on a tangent with these things, but everyone's got different learning styles and how they take in information. You've got visual learners, you've got people who prefer to read things. So regardless of how you do your all hands, having them in different formats might help. Obviously, an online one, for example, can then create a transcript afterwards, or a podcast, something like that. So it's easier for that person to digest the information.
Is there anything that you can think of, like top of your head? I mean, it is an unfiltered. So is there anything, Alex, for you, one thing that you would say you dislike?
Yeah,
I mean, I think Rachel hit the nail on the head with engagement, really. Like, when we go and do an on-site event, you know, all hands, annual general meeting, that sort of thing, when we set up, like, a full broadcast kit and two-way communication between anyone that might be remote and anyone that's in person, and then there's just no engagement, it's not fun for anyone. Like, it's not fun for finance, for sure. It's not fun for anyone that's remote because they're not feeling like they're participating. It's not fun for anyone that's there in person because there's no communication with the people that are remote. So, like, I think you need that engagement, otherwise it's just not going to be good for anyone.
Yeah, I think as well, and it's like with any meeting really, at the end of the day, an all hands is a meeting in the broader sense, and I think what you want to make clear prior to in the communications and the run up to the all hands is explaining takeaways. What are people going to get out of the all hands as well? Because if you are just bombarding them with data, what are you expecting them to then do with that afterwards? Are you just wanting to give them a tsunami of information, or are you wanting them to have either actions or key takeaways, learnings, for example? What resources are you providing them during the all hands as well? So I think it's a mix of things. It isn't just, again, all about the actual event itself. It's about the wraparound stuff too, because I'm pausing there because I've just got a lot of stuff going on in my head and I'm trying to think which direction to go to. But it all comes down to what are people getting out of it. And also, to make it worthwhile, you do need to understand your audience. And you've got to remember, if you have a full company on there from different departments, it's always good when you change topic to preface what you are about to talk about, so that it makes sense and lands to everyone as well. So if you're talking about, you know, platform data and technical terms, acronyms, people in sales, marketing, ops, for example, are going to be like, what? So it might even be good to kind of have things like, Alex, you'll know this because of dealing with a lot of our live streaming on-site clients as well, who do hybrid events and whatnot. But if, for example, someone starts talking about a particular acronym, have that acronym pop up on screen with the actual description underneath, then that just helps people actually understand. It becomes visually really pretty. Yeah, becomes visually really pretty, but also keeps everyone involved in that conversation so that they don't just go, what? It doesn't even need to be that fancy. It could just be a slide that pops up as well. If you don't have, you know, the vision mixing capabilities, it doesn't have to be jazzy, but just to keep it inclusive more than anything.
Yeah, and I feel like as well, we're all adults, and sometimes I feel like where these meetings can go wrong is it brings people back to feeling like they're at school. Like if you're just kind of sat there in a classroom and you've got your CEO, who's the teacher in this kind of scenario, just talking at you for an hour, half an hour, like people, I mean, I don't know what I was like at school. I'm zoning out. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, unless I was like put on the spot or like I felt involved or interested, then I'm checking out. And I feel like that's probably where a lot of people could also see that dislike factor, if they just don't feel like they're having a say or they're quite understanding what they're even being told as well. So avoid classroom kind of vibes. No one wants that.
I think you had a good point when we were sort of rehearsing as well, Emma, in terms of even ours, we have ours in person, but again, that's not always the perfect format.
No, we do. Yeah, we do ours in person, and we do ours in person to have that feeling of having everyone together, because we do have people who aren't local to our office. So, you know, we get everyone up. But what was the point of, sorry, I've gone.
It was more the fact that you were saying, because when you were doing it, even within person, you've got obstacles like traveling, taking time out of people's day, those sorts of things.
Yeah. And it kind of goes to show that even kind of your in person doesn't automatically fix the problem just because you've got everyone there. It's then also got its extra problems of exactly like the cost of traveling. People may have to stay in hotels because they're in a completely different city or whatever. So it's definitely, it's not the kind of, you have to do it in person or you have to do it online. It's just more the format and how you do it and how you approach it, which is why I kind of want to have a look at what small changes can we do to make that difference. Does anyone?
Brilliant. I think from my perspective, and I've got a couple of ideas on this as well, and does it stray from it being an all hands? Potentially. Could it be a spin-off meeting from an all hands? Possibly. But sometimes, and this might be a little bit controversial, but sometimes what you may find is on an all hands is that the questions that come through, there either isn't enough or they aren't asking the right questions, or people are just nervous to ask questions, because usually all hands are led by either a CEO, CCO, CTO, or kind of the wider leadership team. And sometimes people find that a little bit intimidating and they don't want to ask the questions that may be uncomfortable, but it may be questions that everyone wants to ask, but they just feel a little bit intimidated by, for want of a better word, hierarchy possibly, and they may not feel comfortable enough to be open and honest about certain questions because, and I guess really we're kind of almost talking about all hands delivering negative information, and then they don't, generally speaking, they're delivering like exciting information, what's coming next, so on and so forth. But regardless, I think sometimes people just get a little bit nervous about asking questions. Sometimes an idea could actually be to have the information be delivered by teams themselves as opposed to leadership and the C-suite. Mm-hmm. And it just means that people are actually speaking to their peers within a company. Sometimes it's really good to have an all hands that doesn't include leadership or the C-suite. People may feel a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more open to asking questions. That's just a thought and a suggestion, and as I said, it could even be that you have an all hands where it is the C-suite leadership doing the sort of the talking and the presenting, etc. But it may actually be an idea to then have a spin-off afterwards to have it where it's just kind of peer related, but just a suggestion really. But then it just means that you've got different formats to work with.
Mm-hmm. You bang on with the questions thing. Like, I would always tell people, if you want the cold hard truth, have your questions anonymized. Have your Q&A function anonymous, so people, because that's when you're going to get the real questions. But people are obviously going to be concerned about, you know, possible fallout from asking a question if their name's attached to it. But if you want the real truth and the real questions, I would say anonymous Q&A is something to consider.
Yeah. And how can they do anonymous Q&A in person and online? What's the two? How can they do that?
So there's a few tools and that can help. I don't know, Alex, if you want to jump in on this one, but I've got a couple of ideas.
No, go ahead. I reckon we're going to say the same thing.
So obviously with our platform, which we know the best, and you'll be able to do this with numerous platforms out there, but we can allow people to enter our event pages without without entering any identifying information. They can just enter what we call an auditorium, a live event page, and just submit questions. And essentially those questions come through to the Workcast Studio anonymously. There's no identifiable information. So there's that. You can make your chat open. You can have it moderated as well, so people can't see other people's questions. But if you have it open, what we tend to find is it encourages other people to have the confidence to ask questions as well. Again, that's anonymous. The other thing, I know your question as well, Emma, alluded to, how would in-person delegates, attendees ask anonymous questions as well? In exactly the same format, they can have the live event page open on their phone. There is a way in which we can essentially build a live event page and not have the stream come through and just the Q&A functionality on the page. So they can join that page and submit questions anonymously from their phone. So you can do that too. There are also other products on the market that are really good for these sorts of things that can keep things anonymous. You've got Slido, for example. We integrate very well with Slido, so that's an option. So there's definitely ways to do it. Slido is used in a lot of larger exhibitions. We've took part in things like TFM, one in Excel, I can't remember off the top of my head, but we did it like 3 years in a row and it was brilliant. We did a talk there and they used something very similar to Slido. So yeah, that would be my suggestion, Alex. I think you, I don't know if you've got any other.
Slido is great, especially for in-person stuff as well, where like a hybrid thing, because your in-person guests can just scan a QR code and they can submit their questions, you know, on their phones the same way any of your remote guests can. So it sort of blends the two together nicely.
Yeah. And can they do that ahead of time as well? Because one of my pieces of advice as well is to ask your employees to submit questions way beforehead, like before the all hands meeting, you know, because on the spot, people aren't going to have that time to really think about what they want to ask, you know, them nitty gritty questions. So are they able to submit them like ahead of time?
Yes, I would say yes. Brilliant suggestion. By doing that and by understanding what your audience is wanting to hear before the event itself will help you shape that information that you present or show or talk about. It will feel like it's more personable and they'll feel like they're being heard. You might not be giving them the answer that they want, but as is life, But at least you're answering their question directly. I think that's really important, instead of after the fact. But it depends on how you want to control that as well, because you can have a Q&A on a registration form if you want to, a question box, sorry, on the registration page if you want to. You can also allow people into the live event page prior to the live event itself, and they can submit questions for you via the Q&A functionality. That's if you want it available prior to. You can switch on and off. It's completely up to you. But yeah, Alex, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Same thing, really. not a lot of that adds.
Yeah. Some people use internal systems as well. So, for example, we use Slack internally for communication. We use Slack for anonymous polling, things like that, so we can find out what is kind of the hot topic that they, that the wider company wants to be discussed or addressed during an all hands. So you can use Teams, all sorts of things to kind of get as much information prior to.
There's definitely benefits to it as well. Exactly what you said, it means you can actually shape the meeting almost around what you know the employees want to hear. You know, have someone that's dedicated, probably HR, I'd assume, who's going to look through those questions and decide which ones can be addressed to everyone. Maybe there might be someone where it's kind of more one-to-one and they can take that outside as well. But I would say every question, good or bad, does probably need to be covered in one way or another. So very important. And I would say as well, just to circle back to the question of what are the small changes that we can do to actually make a difference? Start with the wins, like start positive, because of course every meeting is going to have, you're going to have to talk about data, you're going to have to talk about something that might not be as positive but needs to be heard on a company level, but don't start with it, because if you're starting with that, it's kind of setting the tone for the rest of the meeting. You're flattening everyone from the get-go. So, you know, start with the wins. It could be positive feedback you've had, someone in the company who's just been promoted or done something amazing, but start with that positive energy and then the rest will kind of follow through, I would say.
I agree. And I think as well, the one thing that sometimes people get wrapped up in is almost kind of the now and focus on what's to come. It's nice sometimes to just take a moment to reflect on what you've achieved as well, regardless of what's been a good or bad period. And we see a lot of our clients, and this goes, I know we kind of are a little bit biased and leaning in a lot of online stuff here, but even with in-person events, it's nice to even do kind of like a little video reel of all of the positive things that were achieved in the past quarter. It doesn't have to be data driven. It could be that you had a charity day, that you planted trees for your to combat your CO2 emissions, anything like that, just to show kind of the small and the big wins, because it's really nice to set a tone regardless of what the overall message is. It's nice to just take a second, reflect on what we've achieved, because I do think there is sometimes a culture within the modern world of everything has to just be so fast-paced. Just take a minute and just reflect on what you've achieved, because I think we're all a little bit guilty sometimes of just being like, right, what's next, reflect.
That's actually so nice, and I feel like if you're extra nice to whoever you have on marketing, I'm sure they'll do it for you free of charge. I would happily do that for ours, so next all hands I'll have a word. Perfect. Alex, is there anything else you want to mention on this question?
I think going back to the sort of anonymity side of things, we did an anonymous feedback form, which it kept the format the same as in Q&A, but it meant that people could submit questions in advance, like we were discussing, and they could do that anonymously, but then they could also ask questions in person. So if there's anything that people didn't feel like they could ask in person, then they could submit it prior. And I think that got the cold hard truth out as well. That's sort of a good way to go. We got some good feedback from that.
I want to put you on the spot, Alex, just with one question. So on the on-site events that you do, have you seen something like that's different to how we even do our company one that you feel is like, oh, like I haven't seen that before, but that's really good. Have you seen anything like that before?
Yeah, so one of our customers, they encourage their staff to do like a little session after the sort of broadcast that we do. So it can be like, sometimes it's like yoga, guided meditation, Ooh. That sort of thing. But like whatever people are like good at, so whatever they do outside of work, whatever their interests are, they can go and do that. They might take people for football coaching for an hour, or
they
might go and do a cocktail class or something like that, just whatever people's interests are. And someone gets chosen each quarter or each month or each year or whenever it is that they do the events, and they sort of lead that session after it's finished.
Yeah.
It's a good way to kind of decompress.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's very, very serious while the cameras are rolling and while we're broadcasting. So I think as soon as you finish that, going to something like that really sort of brings the energy down a bit.
I love that. And it ties kind of nicely into our next question, because I suppose that's so lovely, but maybe not everyone's able to do that. Like, not everyone's able to change something or invest in even paying for everyone to come into one place. Do it all virtually. So if you can't change it dramatically, and you're expected to keep running exactly the same format, the same way, is there anything, like, what can you do about that? There must be something that you can do that's not kind of changing everything completely up in the air.
Yeah. I think from my perspective, if the same format and the same structure has to be followed, it doesn't still have to look the same. You can get creative. The tools are there. To be used and to experiment with different, say, engagement options and visual options, and even slight tweaks to say if you have to strictly stick to a presentation, simple things like just changing up the way in which your slides are formatted can make all the difference. Don't make them too text heavy. Do highlights, highlighted numbers, highlights of data, and then let the speaker emphasize that with what they're saying, as opposed to just having a wall of text for people to look at as well as hearing about it too. If you can do a little bit of vision mixing, if you can, in terms of different media, and when I say that, you may have to stick to the same structure, but, and again, this is alluding to Workcast if you're doing it online, but again, you can do this in person, is move around the room, move around the stage, move around whatever it is that you are in the room of doing your all hands, just to shake it up a little bit. And you may want to have different data points in the room so that people can move around. That will keep them engaged instead of just sitting and looking, because they may switch off in that sense. But from an online perspective as well, we have the ability with our platform where you can have it, what you're seeing right now, grid view, but then all of a sudden we can flick to full screen presentation. Then we can also play a pre-recorded video, and then we can come back to webcam, and it might only be Emma then that's on webcam full screen. And it's about changing, it's about changing up the visuals so that it is moving around quite a lot, so people do stay engaged because they don't know what's going to come next, as opposed to just sitting and watching. Obviously, we've got the same format for this because it's more of a discussion, a little bit of a podcast. We want people to be able to listen to this if they're commuting, for example. So we don't want to be too heavily visual on this, because just in case they can't actually physically watch it. That would be my advice. If you can't digress too much from the agenda and the structure, then give the look a little bit of a change if you want.
I love that. Love that. Alex?
Prep as well. Like we were talking about before, more prep can make all of the difference. You know, if you've got a lot of technical terms there, just explaining it to the people that aren't going to understand it straight away can make a difference. You want the best out of everyone while they're there in all the together. So I think just putting that extra work in beforehand, thinking about how you can make it easily digestible by the most amount of people, is going to make all the difference.
Yeah. I think one thing as well that we haven't touched on, which is uber, uber important for internal communications as a whole, because all hands is an internal communication, is, especially if you are involving tech, make sure you have done at least one technical rehearsal. because you've got to think about your network bandwidth. Alex, you will know way more about this than me, so I'll let you speak up a little bit, but it is imperative that you make sure you have spoken to your IT team and you've done the due diligence with testing. I don't want to make it scary. It's super, super easy. It's just we need to flag it. It's just one of those things that you need to do your due diligence on.
Yeah, I remember when Alex was always doing it. Yeah. Blocking out a whole morning sometimes, weren't you, Alex?
Yeah. It goes back to prep. So for our live streams and stuff, any on-site events that we do, if we're going to a new venue, we're going there and we're doing a site visit, we're doing a stream test beforehand, making sure that the network is going to let us do that. If it's not, like Rachel says, we work with the IT teams to get that resolved before the live event. But it's the same sort of thing, just doing that test and putting the prep in.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. Yeah. And I would say have a look at restructuring the order if you need to. So it's not actually changing what you're talking about. You're going to talk about exactly the same things, but you may just need to kind of look at the order that you're actually addressing them. And I would say that one's probably mine. And maybe if you're doing it on a meeting tool that's online, try and encourage everyone to also have cameras on. I know that's like some people against it and some people aren't, but I feel like if you're doing it in that kind of format as well, having everyone have their webcams on just makes it feel more of an involved call. Yeah. Like you can see everyone's body language, like just feels a bit more like inclusive. I feel like if you've got your webcam off, like it just instantly, especially for the person talking as well, it can be a little bit kind of discouraging, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
So, question we all want to know. is All Hands broken? So let's just get a quick opinion of everyone, because I am conscious of time. Rachel, are they broken?
I don't think they're broken. I just think with a little slice of inspiration, you can get them going with even the smallest of changes, particularly around engagement, content. Just always remember that you want to bring value to the audience and not bore them. So even little things like in communications prior to the event, if you've got the budget for it and you're in person, remote, whichever, send them a Starbucks voucher, encourage them to go and get a coffee, like, prior to the event as well, so they're kind of like sat, chilled, prepped, got their drink.
Sorry, is our CEO listening to this? Starbucks, please. Love that suggestion.
little things like that will make a difference, I think. I'm hoping that we've highlighted some takeaways as well on this, because I know we've kind of dashed through them, but we'll definitely follow up with an email with the takeaways out of this event. But yeah, that's in my opinion anyway.
Alex?
I don't think they're broken, but I do think a lot of them need some work. I think
a little bit of
the reason that you're doing the All Hands needs to be clear. Are you doing an All Hands for the sake of doing an All Hands, or are you doing an All Hands because you want people to get something out of it? It feels a lot like we do an All Hands, not us personally, but companies do an All Hands every 3 months, and they do that because they do an All Hands every 3 months, and it feels a bit like routine. So jazz it up a little bit, you know, make sure people are going to get something out of it.
That is in itself a really good suggestion, Alex, because if you are doing these quite regularly, don't make them the same thing each time. Maybe make them department specific each time round. So have one focused on sales and marketing, the next one being on customer operations, the next one being on tech, engineering, platform specific. Next one could be on, you know, client feedback, NPS. So I think that's a real good suggestion.
It's a really good one, actually. Yeah, because sometimes I think I'm circling back to an issue, but sometimes too much information is crammed into that short time, and like if you actually proper dilutes it. So actually, God, we need to do another podcast just on that. It's a great suggestion. So I would say that is us for today. So no, they're not broken. They just need a little bit of tweaking. And hopefully what we've discussed here, there's even just one thing that you can maybe take from it today to have a look at your All Hands moving forward. So thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you, Alex and Rachel, for joining me. Our next topic is actually a very interesting one, and we're going to be looking at, is your CEO a good communicator? Is he or is he not? Or is she or is she not? So that's going to be our next topic. So look out for some kind of promotion on that. We will be kind of airing that out shortly. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we will see you again soon.
Awesome.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.